You're listening to the Foul Ball Area podcast with Matthew Atkins, now available on Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and Apple Podcasts. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. With me today, as always, is Trey Lyle, the unofficial co-host of the podcast, joining us from Kansas. Trey, how you doing this week?
Doing good, Matt. Glad that our podcast is growing. It feels like back to the good old days in your apartment at school where we'd record every week. So, but this time we're a few hours apart, a few miles apart, and a lot of states apart. So glad to be hearing from you, and glad to be back on for this week.
Yeah, glad we can keep it going. You know, this technology is just amazing with Zoom and Skype enabling us to do the podcast hundreds of miles away. It's pretty cool.
Definitely. It feels good to get back on the Foul Ball Area, the podcast that I helped make. It expanded in listenership since I joined. So the second episode of the show and been on since. So pretty cool to be spending some time with you again this week.
And we love having you on, as always. A quick reminder to everyone listening, make sure to follow Foul Ball Area on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to stay up to date with the latest podcasts and blog posts. And while you're here listening to the podcast, take a look around the website, read some of our blog posts, see what we're talking about, see if you're interested in any of it. And if you feel so inclined, share it with your friends. I'm sure you know some baseball fans. I'm sure they'd like to read and listen to our content here at Foul Ball Area. We're going to get into our most recent blog post, actually. We published a post that was our top games to watch while we're stuck at home during social distancing. We each came up with 10 classic games that you can find online, whether it's on YouTube or MLB TV or some illegal site if you're into that. But you can find these games online, and they are what we think are the top classic games of all time to watch. So we'll go ahead and get started with that. Start out with, actually, both of us had this one at number one, 2016 World Series Game 7, Cubs versus Indians. The Cubs break the curse 108 years without a championship. They finally get one in 2016, and it was a fantastic game.
Yeah, as I mentioned in my part of the article, it literally had everything. And I remember trying everything I could do just to watch the beginning of that game. I actually was scheduled to work in intramurals. You have two shifts if you work as an official. You have a 5:15 to an 8:30 shift and then an 8:30 to 11:30 shift. Well, I was scheduled that late shift to 11:30. So I'd miss the majority of that game and probably pick up at the end. But I luckily switched with someone. And then, so I was like, all right, I'm going to miss the first two innings. I'll be fine. But then the last game I had got forfeit, so I got to leave early. So I got home as soon as the game started, got to watch the whole game, and just how it literally had, I mean, everything. It had a leadoff home run, which I think is one of the most home runs that people forget about. Like, people forget Dexter Fowler started Game 7 of the World Series with a leadoff home run. And you have David Ross's home run in his final game. You have the whole controversy about when Lester came in versus how well Kyle Hendricks was pitching, and then Rajay Davis with that big home run that just blew off the building in Cleveland, and then obviously the 30-45 minute rain delay to the end of the game, and the Cubs winning the World Series. Plus, it was a 3-1. People forget it was 3-1, and I mentioned this in the article. Is ironically, Cleveland did the most biggest 3-1 comeback in basketball. And now they give up a 3-1 series lead against Chicago. It's incredible.
Yeah, a great game all around. One of the most entertaining baseball games that I've ever watched. The fact that there's that rain delay, and then they come out and it goes to extra innings, and the Cubs and Chris Bryant making the final play and just falling into the infield as he, you know, is overcome with joy as the Cubs win their first World Series in 108 years. It was a fantastic game. Another game that we both have on our list, I have this at number two, and you put it at number five, is 2011 Game 6 of the World Series, the Cardinals versus the Rangers, in a walk-off home run, David Freese etching his name into postseason history.
Yeah, probably if you just did it unbiasedly, I'd put it number two. But if you look at my list, number two is the wild card game between the Royals and the A's. And moving out to Kansas, I had to give some love to Kansas City Royals. And you ask any Royals fan, their favorite game was that epic World Series, epic wild card game, excuse me, in 2014. And then I have two most monumental Yankee games, Jeter's walk-off against the O's, and then the 0-1 game four, game five, just the meaning behind that, Jeter. But yes, I mentioned this in the article, and I think you said it too, and we kind of agree on it. This was Joe Buck's best call ever. He tied it in the ninth. The Rangers twice in that series were one out away from winning the World Series, and they don't do it. And I think the fact that Freeze got that, was it triple, bases clearing triple in the ninth, and then a home run in the 11th, and Buck going, "We will see you tomorrow night," just solidifies that game as one of the best ever.
Yeah, a great call, reminiscent of his father's call many years before when there was a walk-off home run in the World Series. So Joe Buck with a great call during David Freese's walk-off home run sent it to Game 7, where the Cardinals would eventually win the World Series over the Texas Rangers. You mentioned Derek Jeter's final game, his walk-off hit against the Baltimore Orioles in 2014. You put that at number three. I had that one in my list. I put it at number eight. It is a great game. You have a legend like Derek Jeter going out with a walk-off hit. I mean, that's exciting. That's as, you know, I think I said in my my reasoning for it is it's not exactly the storybook ending that you could have hoped for because the Yankees didn't make the playoffs that year. But to have him get the walk-off hit in his final game, it is a pretty great ending.
Yeah, definitely. And people talk about, like, I have a list of like maybe four athletes where they're my athletes. Like I felt the reason I became a fan of that sport is because of that athlete in part of the reason. And Jeter is one of them. Like, I remember when I thought I could play baseball, I wanted to be a catcher or a shortstop because I just thought the catcher was cool. But I also thought I could do that. I just remember doing the classic Jeter two-step jump throw move all the time. So Derek Jeter will always be my favorite baseball player. I mean, I have a Jeter jersey at home, like the classic Jeter jersey in my apartment here at Kansas. But it's just, I remember watching that game. Luckily had Masson growing up, and I remember being a tad bit emotional towards the end because of Jeter's final game and how it ended. And so I think it's a great game objectively. It's a great game if you're a fan of baseball because Derek Jeter is one of the greatest baseball players, probably the most iconic player in the 2000s because he was the captain of the New York Yankees. It's plain and simple. He's probably the most iconic player of the 2000s just because of he was the captain of the biggest franchise, arguably in sports. And so him ending his career in the way, like with a walk-off, it was Cinderella storybook kind of ending in almost the best way possible.
Yeah, it was a great game. Great way for the captain to end his career. One game that we actually had at the same spot on both of our lists also is the 1988 World Series Game 1. The Dodgers' Kirk Gibson comes up to the plate in the final inning and hits a walk-off home run. His only at-bat of the series, a pinch hit at bat, and he hits a walk-off home run. I mean, that itself, that's just a great moment.
Yeah, classic Vin Scully call. I think I kind of mentioned on there, is like, all these games are basically when I was alive, I picked. I think similar to you when you can think about it. So the fact that this game was just so iconic, and you got Vin Scully with a classic call, and then the Kirk Gibson, who literally had, like, no knees at that point, like his – he was so beat up, and he just throws his bat and is able to hit a home run. It was an incredible story.
Some other games that you had on your list. You had the 2003 ALCS Yankees versus Red Sox. I had the 2004 ALCS Yankees versus Red Sox. Both great series, both great games to watch. You had the 2015.
There's a big reason why I didn't put the other.
You had 2015 ALDS Game 5, the Jose Bautista bat flip game. I can't believe I didn't think of that one when I was putting together my list. That is a very entertaining game. That whole seventh inning, I think it was the seventh inning, either it was one of those middle innings. That whole inning in itself could just be an entertaining game. I mean, everything that happened in that inning with all the errors, all the runs that scored, the fans getting upset, throwing things on the field, and then Jose Bautista's bat flip, that one inning is the entire game.
This is legitimately what I wrote. Best bat flip in the history of baseball occurred in this game, and it caused a brawl the following season. Do I need to say anything else? Like, it did. It caused a major brawl the following season. I think it was the seventh inning, but I just remember Bautista's major home run. And you think about the Blue Jays. That was their first series win since they won the World Series. And who was the guy around the franchise that just kind of stayed with them? And it was Jose Bautista. Like, when you thought of the Blue Jays in that early 2000s, mid-2000s, late 2010s, their best player was Jose Bautista, even during the bad times. And for that guy just to hit that home run in that moment at home in a big game that made them move on to the ALCS, it was perfect. It was a perfect situation. And that's kind of where I thought about it. I thought about these moments in games where you can flip to them. And that's kind of where I based my list on. Like, I remember the bat flip. I remember watching the bat flip.
So all these classic games should be online somewhere on YouTube. You can find them on MLB's channel or the channel MLB Vault. You should be able to find them maybe on MLB TV. You can look for them. They should be online somewhere and easy, accessible to find. You can watch these while you're stuck at home. No live American baseball to watch right now. There is other baseball going on. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But while there's no live Major League Baseball going on, you can watch these classic games. Check them out on MLB on YouTube and MLB Vault. And check out MLB.tv for the entire past two seasons of Major League Baseball.
Also, if there's a game not on the list, let us know. You can tweet us at Foul Ball Area, at Mapkins21, at Trey Lyle. And we'd love to hear from you. If any games that we missed, we're both big baseball fans and love to absorb it. Matt, I actually have a question about your list. Obviously, we both based our list. One game, at least, we dedicated to a team we like. I have a couple of Yankee games on there. You have a couple of Yankee games on there. But you have more classic games on your list. You have the 93 game, 6 World Series, touch them all, Joe. I think that would have been probably 11 or 12 for me on the list. But obviously, you have you had to get a Braves game on there. You got game 3 of the 18 ALDS. So probably your most recent game, probably the most recent game between our two lists. Obviously, a young Braves team at the time. So why you picked that Braves game, maybe not one from their World Series run?
That game it was the first time they'd won a division title in 5 years. I think it was the first time they made the playoffs in 5 years. And they were playing the Dodgers. They were down 2-0. And then they find a way to come out and play the first game in Atlanta in this series. And they come out of the gates, and in the second inning, Ronald Acuña Jr. becomes the youngest player to ever hit a postseason grand slam. And then the Braves go on to win this game and make the series 2-1. And actually, they won this game, and I was like, tomorrow could be the last game of the season. It's in Atlanta. That's only 8 hours away. I'm going to go. And so my roommate and I drove down to Atlanta to watch game 4 of that NLDS. Of course, the Braves lost. We had to drive back overnight, took an 8 a.m. midterm the other day or the next day. It was a good time, though.
I remember that. And I also remember the text at 1 o'clock in the morning saying, do you want to go to Atlanta? And I said, as much as I want to, I think I had class or something where I had to go that day. And I was like, dang, I really wish I did. So that's kind of why I mentioned it. I remember you texting me very late at night saying, do you want to go? And I was like, I wish I could, but I can't. And then obviously you and Eric headed on down to Atlanta for that game.
I asked a couple people if they wanted to go, and I asked you. I had a friend that went to Auburn at the time, and so he was only like an hour away. I asked him if he just wanted to meet me there, but he said he had a midterm he had to study for, which of course I did too, but I still went. I asked Brady Hess if he would go with me, but he had a law school or law, what's the exam to get into law school?
MCAT.
It's the LSAT. LSAT. He had a study class for that the next day, so he couldn't go, and you had class, so you couldn't go. So yeah, and my roommate Eric ended up going with me. It was it was an experience, but yeah. So I had to include NLDS Game 3 on my list.
So a game I have on my list that you don't is obviously the No-No by Doc Holliday in, I believe, the 2010 NLDS Game 1. I think that was – I put that on there kind of for nostalgia a little bit. Shout out to Doc Holliday. But I remember that game, and I just remember how rare it was for a postseason no-hitter. And the guy who's been with the most dominant pitcher in baseball over that stretch just throwing a no-hitter against – a Reds team that was really good. Like, people forget how good that Reds team was. And so pretty impressive thing. And you remember that Phillies had had a ridiculous lineup at that point with a rotation, I should say, with Cliff Lee and Doc Holliday.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great game. Very impressive postseason no-hitter. I mean, that's...
It was the only one that we've had since our lifetime, since we've both been born.
Yeah, exactly. Earlier today, I caught up with former RCBL legend Zach Stiles. He saw our article last week about our best baseball movies, and so he wanted to give me his opinion on the best baseball movies out there. So here's that interview with Zach Stiles. I got former RCBL legend Zach Stiles joining me on the podcast today. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Matthew. How about you?
I'm doing well, holding out during the social distancing and these unprecedented times that we're in. I'm watching a lot of baseball movies to get me through it, and that's what we're going to talk about. Last week I tweeted out a story of our top 10 baseball movies, and you replied, said, when are we going to talk about this on the show? So I had to get you on here and get your thoughts on what the top baseball movies are.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm I'm kind of a baseball nerd, so if there's a baseball movie, I usually try to watch it, even if it's on like Amazon Prime or anything like that. So I'm always looking for baseball movies to watch, and because I'm such a baseball nerd.
Well, my dad and I have been watching baseball movies pretty much every other night, trying to come up with a definitive list of the top baseball movies. And I think I've got mine. I have The Sandlot at number one. I don't think anything's going to beat that. But you know, we were just talking about it. What is your top five list?
Well, it's like I told you there when you called me, it's hard for me to pick out five that I like. So I'm going to cheat. I did top five fiction and nonfiction. We'll do fiction first. Probably my first one would be Field of Dreams. I love that movie when it came out. It's a great movie. It even brings in some, you know, the Shoeless Joe Jackson and some players, you know, real life players and stuff. It was just, when a movie, it came out, I really enjoyed that movie. And then number two, I would go with The Natural. It's another great movie of Roy Hobbs, and you talk about his bat and him making the bat out of his own tree, you know, and I'm not gonna lie, when that movie came out, I was trying to teach myself how to make my own bat. Wasn't successful with it. And then number three in my fiction would be The Sandlot. It's a great movie. It's a classic in itself. And then I'll go Bull Durham is number four. Love that movie. Since this pandemic, I've probably watched it about 10 or 15 times because it seems like it's always on.
Yeah, that is true.
But and it's also got some of the best one-liners in that movie, so... It's another great movie. And then probably my last one would be For the Love of the Game. It's a movie, actually, you know, as a baseball player, I kind of use, you know, when he would like tune out the crowd, you know, when I would step in the box or even when I was pitching, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you try to gain that focus and, you know, focus on either the pitcher or the batter or the glove or the catcher, you know. So, it was something I kind of used, but, you know, I will say with my movies, though, I would say Kevin Costner is probably one of my favorite movie actors at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's something I've realized watching all these movies is how many baseball movies Kevin Costner is in, and three of them are in your top five. But he's got some really good ones.
Yeah, he's a great actor, and you can tell he's obviously got a love for the game of baseball. And I would say an honorable mention there would probably be Summer Catch. You know, it's college baseball, summer leagues, and talking about the Cape Cod a little bit, and it's one of those things that makes you wonder what goes on sometimes up there. I never got the opportunity to play in the Cape Cod or anything like that, but It's just another great movie.
All right,
Then
I'll
if
have
I
to
want
add
your
that
like
one.
nonfiction, what's that?
I'll have to add that one to my watch list. I haven't seen that one yet.
You haven't seen Summer Catch yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's a good one. It's a good one. You have to check it out. Jessica Biel's in there. She's not bad to look at too. But nonfiction wise, I would go 42. I saw that was on your list. It's a great movie. They did a phenomenal job, in my opinion. Talking about the story of Jackie Robinson and what he had to go through and whatnot. And that was a crazy time, obviously, but I thought they did a really good job making that movie. My number two is one of my favorite movies, 8 Men Out. It was about the 1919 Chicago White Sox or the Black Sox. That movie actually was what led me. I've read 3 books on Shoeless Joe Jackson since then. The one was the 8 Men Out book, and then there was another book that was written. Can't think of the title of it, but it was actually about the trial they had to go through. It dug deep into the trial when they were going through that whole ordeal. And then the other one was it was actually a book written in South Carolina by Shoeless Joe Jackson's wife. And kind of given their story or whatever, it's really good. And then my third one would be Moneyball. I would say, me, I'm a Orioles fan through and through, but if I had a second favorite team, I would probably say it would be the Oakland A's. I say that because I've always admired how they've built winners or teams that compete with very little money, and they wouldn't go out and buy the highest priced person because they couldn't or wouldn't, whatever you want to call it. But I was very intrigued by that movie. And then four would be 61, the home run chase with Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle. Thought that was awesome. And then my fifth one in that one would be The Rookie. The Rookie, I enjoyed that movie. I had just read the book right before it came out. It was kind of ironic that I just finished reading the book, and then seriously, a month later, it announced that movie was coming out. So I'd already read the book, and then the movie came out. It was, the book always tells a little bit more to the story, but I enjoyed that movie too. And then I'd say honorable mention there would be A League of Their Own. Thought it was a great movie.
Well, that's a pretty good list. I mean, all of those are great movies, and something that my dad and I have talked about when trying to come up with our list is that there are no bad baseball movies, really. It's just, all of them are good. You just got to figure out how you rank them.
No doubt. Even some of these Amazon Prime or Netflix ones, you can tell they're low cost movies, but a lot of them have a good story behind them, in my opinion. But yeah, you're right. You're 100% right.
So we actually watched 8 Men Out a couple weeks ago, and I'd never seen that one before, so that was a pretty good one. I was impressed with it. And then 61, I actually really liked that one. I think I liked that one better than 8 Men Out. I thought it was just a really well-done movie, and it's a story that, I feel like a lot of baseball fans, that they kind of hear about it, but they don't really know that much about Roger Maris or that 1961 season when he broke Babe Ruth's record.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. Even really before that movie come out, even as me as a baseball guy, I'd heard the name Roger Maris and knew he hit a lot of home runs and whatnot. But, it's funny because, what these movies talk about, and, I'm sure they're off to a point, but, Roger Maris, the stress of people, calling for his family's lives and stuff like that. And the same thing with Jackie Robinson. And it's amazing how some of these streaks, streaks are meant to be broken. And, even Cal Ripken, I remember, reading in books about him, about how, he got hate mail, leading up to Lou Gehrig's streak, same thing in this movie 61, you saw that when Roger, he started losing hair. It was stressing him out so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. They did a great job with that movie.
Now, one thing that surprised me on your list, I feel like every baseball player's favorite movie is Major League, and you didn't have Major League in your top five.
It's a great movie. Don't get me wrong. I like those movies. you know, all of them were good. The first one was the best in my opinion, and honestly, I thought the back of the minors one was kind of funny too. Had some pretty good scenes in it, and you know, but now I like Major League too. You know, shoot, that's why I couldn't done top five for you. I mean, I could add a bunch more on there. You know, I've seen so many baseball movies. You know, another one that's really good is A Million Dollar Arm. You know, that I didn't even put on there. I thought that was a pretty cool movie, and how they did that, and you know, and that actually happened, which was cool too. And it's not something, you know, I remember reading in Sports Illustrated an article about that, and thought that was pretty cool too. You know, there's another movie I like too, was, you know, Cobb. I don't know if you ever saw Cobb, about Ty Cobb.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. Tommy Lee Jones plays in it. Okay.
Man, you realize what a hard-nosed dude that guy was. You know, you could tell why he wasn't well-liked amongst people. You always heard about it and stuff like that, but he just seemed like a bitter old dude. But, you know, you got another movie that I really enjoy. It's an old one. It's Soul of the Game. I don't know if you ever seen that one.
No, I haven't seen that one either.
It's a good one. It's focusing around the Negro Leagues. You know, it's Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson, and Jackie Robinson, and this okay. is they're all friends, and you know, in this movie is actually when, like, Branch Rickey is trying to scout for the first player he's going to bring up, and you know, it actually this movie tells about, you know, the tension that it brought between these friends. You know, Satchel thought he was the dude. You know, he's like, there ain't nobody better than me. you know, Josh Gibson, you heard so much about him, and but, you know, it kind of explains in there the reason why they wanted Jackie was because, you know, he was a clean cut dude, and, you know, no trouble, and he'd already had played with a bunch of white people, and so it was pretty good. It's an old one. I think it was back in the mid-90s was when that one came out.
Okay, all right, I'll mark that one down. All these movies about, you know, historic moments like 61, 42, 8 Men Out. When do you think we get a Cal Ripken movie?
I don't know. I think it's got to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a big record, a big story that I'm surprised there's not any kind of movie yet.
Yeah, I am too. I guess it's one of those things they're probably waiting to, I mean, because he's still kind of nonchalantly a part of baseball, you know, even if it's just the little leagues, but, you know, you're still kind of seeing him a lot. And I guess it was like the mid-90s or whatever when he broke the streak. I am currently reading a book. It's called The Streak. And, you know, it's honestly, they could do a movie on that book. It's not just about Cal Ripken. It kind of flip flops between, you know, the first guys, like people playing every day used to be, most people did it. You didn't miss,
yeah.
You know? Talks about Lou Gehrig. I'd say it probably focuses more so on Lou Gehrig and Cal Ripken, because one chapter would be about Cal Ripken, the next chapter would be about Lou Gehrig, maybe they're just waiting for Cal to get a little older. I don't know. and actually, you know, not really trying to get off your subject, but a movie that I didn't put on my list and I meant to, actually, The Final Season is probably one of my favorite movies. I don't know if you've seen that one.
No, I haven't seen that one either.
It's a really good one. And to be honest with you, I'll tell you why. One reason why I really like it is because you can tell the guys that play in this movie are baseball players. Fundamentally, they're fundamentally sound. It's great. But it's about a high school team in Iowa. It's a true story. It's about a school team in Iowa. And the governor of their city wants to merge with a bigger school. Well, this high school is, they won 19 state championships. And, you know, they actually run the legendary coach out, and they think by hiring this guy who the principal thinks he used to be a JV girls volleyball coach, So he thinks he's just hiring this guy who doesn't know anything. Well, what he doesn't know is he played Division III baseball, and the coach, he actually coached 1 year underneath the legendary one, and he took notes after notes. He had a little notebook, and he would just soak it all in. And so when they ran the head coach off, some of the better players off this team, and decided they weren't going to play. They chose not to play, and this guy ends up leading them. I'm not going to break the whole story to you, but he leads them pretty far and does a really good job. But it was kind of a non-factor, as they had already made their choice to merge with the other school. But it's a really good movie. It's a true story about a high school out in Iowa. It's a good one you need to check out.
All right, yeah, that sounds interesting. I'll have to check that one out. I've got a couple new ones added to my list now just after this phone call.
Yeah, and then I was telling you earlier about a movie called Pastime. It's a good one. It's an old one. It's pretty much about this minor league team, and they have this older veteran guy who had kind of a sip of water in the major leagues, and he's kind of at the end of his career, and an African-American guy's on the team. He's the only one, and the other players don't really take to him, but this guy kind of takes him under his shoulder and kind of teaches him some tricks and helps him find his ways. You know, he sees the potential in this kid and kind of becomes, you know, his role model or whatever. And it's a pretty cool one if you hadn't seen that one. And then probably another one that was pretty good. It's a little bit more off baseball, but it's called Pitcher and the Pinup.
All right.
It is what it sounds. It's about this pitcher or this player. He's decides he wants to, you know, play college baseball and stuff, and he's dating this girl, and you know, she they kind of go their separate ways, and you know, he goes off to college, and she actually finds herself trying to make a little extra cash, and she ends up in a certain magazine, and you know, but they kind of their trail leads back to each other. It's a pretty good one. Maybe a little bit off compared to my other ones, but it's not a bad movie.
All right. I'll add that to the list. All right. Well, Zach, I really appreciate you coming on and talking to me about these baseball movies. I've got some new ones to watch, and I might have to update my list here in a couple of days.
Well, good stuff. And I appreciate you having me on. And you know me, Matthew, I'm always about talking some baseball, even if it's baseball movies, but it's definitely good to talk about something positive during this pandemic that's going on. And, you know, you definitely need something new to watch. So I hope you enjoy those. I'm going to let you down with my recommendation.
All right. Thank you. That was former RCBLer Zach Stiles talking about the best baseball movies. And as we said, there are no bad baseball movies. You just got to find a way to rank the good ones. There are no bad movies out there, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at our list, we kind of did a little bit of, I kind of developed it as something where it was like, I want to be a little different than yours, because I knew a couple movies that you have on there. Like, I put a classic Disney Channel movie on there. I think the fact that there was a baseball version of that, I had to have on there. Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off, which is actually personally one of my favorite Disney Channel movies of all time. And so it was pretty good. It was basically of the Disney Channel movies. You had that or High School Musical 2, which featured baseball. But I picked the one that was more suited to baseball, which was Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off. And then obviously having Rookie of the Year on there, and then Little Big League, two of my favorite movies as a kid growing up. Just how they were the craziest concepts you could ever think of. Another reason why to put them on there.
Yeah, you had some on your list that I still need to see. I've never seen Rookie of the Year. I've never seen Little Big League. I've never seen Hardball. So those three I need to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I highly recommend them. If you have Disney Plus, you can definitely see Little Big League and Rookie of the Year. So definitely watch both of those. And they're pretty crazy.
All right. Well, I don't have Disney Plus, but my girlfriend's account is still signed in on our TV. So I'll be watching
those.
There
you go. Shout out to Mariah.
Shout out to Mariah. Yeah. If you've been following the blog or following us on Twitter or Facebook, you saw that the KBO in Korea has begun play. And we talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago. There were reports that ESPN wanted the rights to the KBO for free. They wanted the television rights for free so that they wouldn't have to pay to broadcast the KBO in the United States. Of course, the KBO was like, no, we're not going to give you our television rights for free. Somehow they worked out a deal, and ESPN is now broadcasting 6 KBO games each week. 1 game a day, 6 days a week. Started early Tuesday morning. The opening game was at 1 a.m. Tuesday morning. Thankfully, they are re-airing them each day. So if you don't feel like getting up at the middle of the night, you can watch it the next afternoon on ESPN or ESPN2. And I'm excited for this because we've had the CPBL in Taiwan playing for a couple of weeks, and it's been good. It's been entertaining. They've been on 11 Sports on Twitter. It's a sports broadcasting group in Taiwan. They've been live streaming the games on Twitter. So that's been good. I've been watching some of that. But now having the KBO in action is just that much better. The CPBL is entertaining. People say that it's about at, you know, somewhere between A and high A in the minor leagues. The KBO is more comparable to somewhere between double A and triple A.
Yeah, you could argue probably behind Japan, the KBO is the second biggest international league in the world. Obviously, Major League Baseball being number one, and then you have Japan, and then obviously KBO. Carl Ravitch, talked about how this is not more of a power league. It's more of a contact league where you won't see as many home runs. However, you'll be able to see a lot more bat flips, some nice bat flips. I got to see some last night, so definitely more famous. It probably one of the notable players of recent times who came from the KBO, Eric Thames, played in the KBO and actually became like a legend in the KBO. Pretty interesting to see kind of, it's gonna be cool to see how a different league operates. You're kind of going to get a preview of what sports are going to look like over the next couple of months without fans watching the KBO. Pretty excited for it. Probably watch more of the replays than I will watch it live because they're at midnight my time, was the first game being Central Time. But glad there's actually some live baseball on the airwaves right now.
Well, I think going forward the game is going to be at 4 a.m. Eastern Time, so that'd still be 3 a.m. your time. Still a little too early for you to probably get up and yes, watch them, but the re-airs on ESPN the next day will be good to watch. Like you said, Eric Thames played in the KBO for a couple years and then came over back to Major League Baseball, had some good years with the Brewers, and is now with the Washington Nationals. Another great player from the KBO is Hyunjin Ryu, an all-star pitcher formerly for the Los Angeles Dodgers, now with the Toronto Blue Jays. He signed there this offseason, so he is a product of the KBO as well. So they have put out some good ball players. A lot of people are fans of it. You know, it's all I'm seeing on Twitter, and that's probably because there is no Major League Baseball going on right now, but a lot of people are becoming fans of the KBO, and a lot of people were already fans of it and seem to know a lot about it. So it's a big organization, like you said. I think behind the NPB in Japan, I think it is probably the second biggest international baseball league.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just kind of glad there's baseball on the airwaves, something to watch right now, and it just shows a sign that we're getting inching closer to having some American sports back.
And real quick before we move on, like you said about the bat flips, if you haven't seen it yet, check out Jeff Passan on Twitter. He posted a thread of all the great bat flips from recent years in the KBO. It's very entertaining. And you know, I gotta watch this. When we're done recording, I'm probably gonna go turn on ESPN and watch the re-air of last night's game.
Honestly, if you don't follow Jeff Passan on Twitter, are you a baseball fan?
No.
My point exactly.
All right, real quick, getting ready to wrap things up for today's episode. But today, Wednesday, is National Nurses Day. And as we all know, the COVID-19 pandemic is ongoing, and our healthcare workers are working tirelessly to treat people who have been infected, to get us back to somewhat of a sense of normalcy. They are working unthinkable hours, and I just you know, I'm thankful for them. And shout out to all the nurses out there. MLB posted on Twitter the other day, Aaron Judge and Christian Yelich were making jerseys for nurses. They were putting nurses' names on the back of their jerseys. So they were giving a big shout out to the nurses out there. Today is National Nurses Day. So again, shout out to all the nurses out there trying to keep us safe during this pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you to anyone on the front lines right now dealing with what's going on. Tomorrow being Nurses Day, knowing a couple people in my family that are nurses, thank you to all of them. It's definitely a struggle right now for them, just what they have to deal with and how kind of traumatic you listen to some of these experiences about these nurses in the front lines and what they're having to deal with, along with these the people struggling with this ongoing virus. But those people on the front lines and our nurses, our doctors, thank you so much. Like you, for me, as a guy who's technically essential personnel but works at a radio station, I'm nothing. I'm doing nothing. Like I am lowest of the lowest of the totem pole right now. I don't even really feel that essential. But those people, who deserve everything after this, when this settles down. The scary part is their normal lives without this virus is already hectic. Being a nurse, just being a nurse in general during normal times is a difficult task. And now you're going to add this kind of virus to it. It's incredible what they're doing right now, how they're risking their lives to treat people. So thank you to all the nurses out there and very, very appreciative of them.
Yeah, you said it great. All right, that's all we've got for this week's episode of Foul Ball Area. Thanks again to Zach Stiles for coming on, talking about some baseball movies. Trey, thank you as always for joining us from Kansas. Hope you're doing well out there.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Technically, this is my podcast too, as it was voted on by the people that I'm the co-host of this podcast. So glad we keep hanging out. I miss seeing you in person, my friend. So hope all is safe with your family and hope you enjoy your week, and we'll be back at this next week with another episode.
You know, when this is all over, I think we're going to have to meet up in Blacksburg for something, for a football game, for a wrestling match, for a baseball game, whatever.
Hopefully. I mean, we got time. Maybe you can come out here to a Royals game.
Yeah, I could do that.
Play the Braves. So I'm looking at their schedule from last year. So, but when the Royals play the Braves, maybe you come out here.
Yeah, that'd be a good time. I gotta check Kauffman Stadium off my list, so gotta make it out there somewhere.
So do I.
All right, we'll do it. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.